The treasures of New Zealand. From secluded beaches to mountains, glaciers and forest, New Zealand's two major islands, North Island and South Island, offer beauty, escapism and lots of adventure. No wonder New Zealanders love them so much.
The North Island, Bay of Plenty.
According to New Zealand's indigenous Maori people and the stories passed down orally over generations, their Polynesian ancestors first arrived on these islands around 900 years ago. Their canoes came to shore in the area known today as the Bay of Plenty. It is aptly named as the warm and fertile region, a 260-kilometre crescent on the northern tip of New Zealand's North Island, offered them everything they needed to survive in the land they had discovered. Today, it provides New Zealanders with a different kind of abundance, in that it's a treasure trove for adventure lovers, offering everything from whitewater rafting down the inland rivers to excellent surfing beaches, canyoning, swimming with dolphins, and some of the best whale watching in the world. It's effectively a natural adventure park, and New Zealanders, who love the outdoor lifestyle, are constantly looking for new ways to exploit it. Their latest is zorbing, or rolling down hills inside a gigantic pneumatic sphere. Not one for people who get travel sick. Exotic worlds. Waitomo Caves.
You may be familiar with white water rafting, but have you ever heard of black water rafting? That's what it's called when the waterway goes deep inside a natural cave system, such as the one around Waitomo, first explored by the Maoris centuries ago. Once deep inside where no daylight penetrates, they found their way illuminated by an extraordinary species of glowworm, unique to New Zealand, the Arachnocampa luminosa. The region around Waitomo is a caver's paradise, with more than 300 subterranean systems, many of which can be explored with only a minimum of training in the use of ropes. The most challenging of all, but also the most beautiful, is the Lucky Strike Cave, filled with fragile crystal formations and underground waterfalls. The 3 or 4 hour journey to the end of Lucky Strike isn't for the faint-hearted, as it involves jumping over crevices, leaping across waterfalls, crawling, swimming, and using every technique your body can perform to overcome an array of obstacles. Waimangu Volcanic Valley.
When Mount Tarawera erupted in 1886, killing more than 120 people, New Zealanders found themselves with a transformed landscape. Today, it is known as Waimangu Volcanic Valley and is the world's youngest geothermal system. The names New Zealanders gave to the extraordinary sites created by the explosion reflect their no-nonsense approach to life. Frying Pan Lake, for example, makes sense as a name when you realise that the vapour over it is not mist, but steam. Another lake with invitingly blue water was called Inferno Crater because it's highly acidic and can reach 80 degrees centigrade. And the brightly coloured champagne pool of Waiotapu has bubbling sulphurous waters and smells of rotten eggs. Wakarewarewa Forest.
Tramping is a uniquely New Zealander term for what the rest of us call trekking, hiking, or walking. And it's the nation's preferred pastime. One of their favourite tramping grounds is the 55,000 hectares of lakes and exotic forests around the city of Rotorua. Among the various non-indigenous trees introduced here is a plantation of California redwoods, which can live for more than 2,000 years. They are the tallest trees in the world, growing up to 115 metres high. The American trees grow even better here than in their native environment. thanks to the rich soil and high rainfall, they're already more than 70 meters tall after just 100 years. Something that locals can enjoy by taking the canopy tour through the treetops along high walkways and zip lines. The South Island. The Milford Track.
Of all the places that New Zealanders like to go tramping, there is one that stands out above all the rest and which has been called the finest walk in the world. The Milford Track is a 53-kilometre walk through the Fiordland National Park, starting at a high mountain lake called Tianao and taking people down over the course of 3 or 4 days to the awesome scenery of Milford Sound on the coast. The Milford Track's reputation is so strong that access has had to be restricted to protect the environment, so anyone wishing to do it these days has to book way in advance. Actually, that's not entirely true. Locals know they can get onto the track by taking a sea kayak into Milford Sound and joining it there. Abel Tasman Coast Track.
At the top end of New Zealand's South Island, near the town of Nelson, the coastline is one of numerous secluded coves and unspoiled beaches with a tropical feel to them. The only way to reach them is by foot, as they're part of the Abel Tasman National Park. A footpath that runs all along the coast can take 3 to 5 days to walk in its entirety, but it also allows locals, who know the area well, easy access to hidden bays. Something even more special rewards those who go swimming at night. The waters around this coast are rich with phosphorescent plankton that glow in the dark as you move through the water. Castle Hill.
The strange castle-like rock formation that gives Castle Hill its name is a magnet for bouldering fans. Situated not far from the city of Christchurch, this region was once part of a shallow inland sea. Now lifted high up by tectonic activity, Castle Hill's aquatic past is immediately apparent in the strangely sculpted limestone rock. In this place of spiritual significance to the Maori, a surprising vestige of the past was found in a cave here in the 1980s, a Maori backpack dating from the 1500s and much the same in design as those used by today's backpackers in the area. Mount Cook National Park.
When New Zealander Edmund Hillary was preparing for the first ever conquest of Mount Everest in 1953, he had the perfect place to practice his mountaineering skills. The 3,274-metre-tall Mount Cook, or Auraki as it is known to the Maoris, is big enough to be seen from 150 kilometres away on a clear day, and is the high point of the range known as the Southern Alps. Mount Cook National Park comprises more than 140 other mountains over 2,000 metres high, as well as dozens of glaciers. The area is popular with New Zealanders as it offers every kind of tramping opportunity, from easy hikes to the grueling Mullah Hut route that takes the toughest climbers to a little overnight hut with a spectacular panoramic view of the mountains. Speaking of altitude, it was not far from here in Queenstown in 1986 that New Zealanders first introduced bungee jumping as a commercial sport, if sport is the right word to describe jumping off a bridge. The Dark Sky Reserve.
The Maori's Polynesian ancestors navigated across vast tracts of ocean between islands by using the stars. Sadly, very few individuals remain today who know the ancient songs in which navigators stored all the information that allowed them to do this. And in most parts of the modern world, you can no longer see the night sky properly due to artificial light. Given the story of how New Zealand was first inhabited, it's fitting that it has the world's largest dark sky reserve, a 4,367 square kilometre area where artificial light is kept to a minimum to let the stars show in their jaw-dropping totality. People come to Awaraki Mackenzie Dark Sky Reserve near Lake Te Kapo to see the sky as our ancestors saw it. Well, those of us who lived in the Southern Hemisphere, that is. Stars are not as practical as Google Maps, but if you're far at sea in a canoe, they are apparently a lot more reliable.